What is narcissistic abuse syndrome? How can you tell you have it? And what are the symptoms? That's what we're talking about today at queenbeeing.com. So let's get started.
Closed captioning provided by Athena Moberg and CPTSDFoundation.org.
My name's Angie Atkinson, and on this channel, I offer free daily video coaching to help you discover, understand, and overcome narcissistic abuse and toxic relationships. I like to call it toxic relationship rehab. So if that sounds good to you, hit that subscribe button and let's get going. So there's a lot going on right now about narcissistic abuse syndrome in our community. What is it? What does it mean? Is it a real thing? We're going to cover that right now. Take a look. Narcissistic abuse syndrome is just another term for CPTSD, or complex post-traumatic stress disorder, a psychological disorder that can develop in response to prolonged, repeated experience of interpersonal trauma in a context in which the individual has little or no chance of escape, like narcissistic abuse.
So when we first met the narcissist in our lives, they probably seemed like a really good, safe, positive choice, right? As it turns out, we by now know that the narcissist was not a safe person for us to be involved with. It turns out that for us, love may have been a dangerous choice. Even though the relationship started off in a love bombing place where everything was awesome, we were being idealized, before we knew it, we were being quickly devalued, quickly discarded, or falling into that cycle of idealized, devalued, discarded, idealized, devalued, discard. This led to our finding ourselves under the control of the narcissists in our lives. And before we knew it, we couldn't move. We couldn't do anything, and we found ourselves stuck. The fact is that being with a narcissist or any type of toxic person can literally destroy your life. But what is it that causes a narcissist to do these things to us? We've talked about that in a lot of different videos. The reason is because they don't have empathy, so they don't really care how they affect us, and they're very self-focused, so they only act in ways that help them get what they want. So sometimes they're nice and they're kind to you because it helps them get what they want. Other times they're total jerks to you, but it's because it helps them get what they want, or because at that moment you are not the one who can help them get what they want. You see, they use their supplies, the people in their lives closest to them, as narcissistic supply. They use them as emotional dumpsters, and they just genuinely don't care how those people feel. But regardless of the reason that they do it, the outcome of that type of abuse, that type of treatment, it's the same for everybody. Up to a point. You suffer. The worst part is, because of the addiction factor and all this other stuff, we find ourselves afraid to walk away or unwilling to walk away from these abusers. Love, in general, affects the same part of the brain as any other kind of drug. No joke. And when we're talking about a toxic relationship, we almost become stuck directly to that partner by our own brains. This is where our brain betrays us in keeping us safe and healthy. So if you haven't been in one of these relationships, I know what you're thinking. You're like, whatever, they should just walk away. It's their own fault. I used to think things like that too, until I actually ended up in a relationship like that. Now I understand how difficult it can be, and especially when you've got shared finances, children, legal stuff together like that. But even in a relationship where it's just a dating situation, you still might feel unable to walk away. Why is that? I mean, we shouldn't have to stay with someone who scares us, or someone who intimidates us, or someone who controls us, right? I mean, the fact is that the best possible answer is to walk away and go no contact. We all know that, right? Yeah, it's logical, but is it feasible? Well, yeah, I do believe it's feasible. I do believe it can be done. I've seen it be done often. But here's what you have to understand. The way that your brain naturally functions can literally stop you from walking away from a narcissist. The addiction to your abuser happens for a number of reasons, but when we're talking about specifically our neurochemistry, the way our brains work, we need to think about things like the sort of ingredients that contribute to our addiction. So for one, we have oxytocin, which contributes to our bond with this person. Then we have the endogenous opioids, which deal with pleasure, pain, withdrawal, dependence on the narcissist. Then there's the corticotropin releasing factor, which is due to stress and also contributes to withdrawal. Then we have dopamine, which we've talked about a lot of times. It's part of the whole craving thing, the wanting the person, the seeking, the needing the person part of it. But what you have to understand is when our brain chemistry is dysregulated by abuse, it's more difficult than you can imagine to actually make logical choices or to manage our emotions in regard to this person. So there's a difference between the way that a healthy relationship and a toxic relationship work in our heads. in your brain. While the neurobiological changes in our brains are similar to those of people who go through a healthier relationship and breakup, and when we fall in love with someone new, we also have that whole reward system in our brains, thanks to neurochemistry, thanks to the way the chemicals move around in there. And that causes us to have the same kind of attachment to anyone we love as any normal person would have. But when you go through this type of abuse, the person that you're attached to, the person that you love, is unsafe. It's not a healthy relationship. It's not a healthy attachment. It's not stable. Because of the fact that what happens during a toxic relationship being so different than what happens in a healthy relationship, it causes a big difference in the way that we function as individuals in the relationship and the way that our brains work in that relationship. So for example, our brains become like hypervigilant. Extremely responsive. This is part of the CPTSD thing. We worry, we stress, we get overwhelmed by stuff. We release chemicals that are a direct reaction to our toxic partner's behavior and way of being. This is a direct response to what is happening around us in our environment, to the abuse we are experiencing. The messed up part here is that when we pull away and we try to leave, guess what happens? Just like in a normal relationship, that oxytocin kicks in. What does that mean? It means that our bonding chemicals are kicking in. We're missing the bonding with that person. Of course, the same thing happens for all the other chemicals we talked about. The thing is that normal partners, healthy partners, they don't create the same hypervigilance or the same state of emotional charge. Does that make sense? That a toxic partner does. As they say, context is everything, right? So this makes us have to think about cognitive dissonance and the trauma bond and how those two things go together. Both cognitive dissonance and the trauma bond tend to override the type of logic and reasoning that could actually help us to get free from this person. Again, these things happen automatically and they're a direct result of our environment and our abuse. The so-called neurochemical tornado that happens inside of us, thanks to our abusive partner. The brain chemicals that we talked about actually are directly causing the trauma bond. And when we have been abused by a partner, these chemicals, as you may know, become very dysregulated. This causes essentially addiction, where you have that intense craving for that person, where you, in your mind, you kind of forget about the abuse and you only think about the positive things. So you kind of raise them up on some sort of pedestal in your head. And then what do? Well, you start hyper-focusing on how can I make this better? How can I fix it? What can I do to get back in there? You want to resolve the conflict. That's normal for you. But because you are dysregulated with your brain chemistry, thanks to the abuse, it's very difficult for you to find your place there again. You start deceiving yourself. You go back into that cognitive dissonance and you start making excuses for the abuser and maybe even trying to change yourself to make their life better. You make excuses for this person to your family and your friends and even yourself. You try to minimize it or explain it away and you believe it for a moment that maybe they really won't do that again. And when they do it again, you make more excuses. Why do we do this? The fact is that our brains work against us here. We become involved in relationships that cause us serious harm because our brain chemistry sort of creates that false sense of connection, thanks to the dysregulation that happens because of the abuse. For women, the oxytocin, which is a neuropeptide, actually increases in response to our social environment, which means that we will actually release oxytocin when we feel upset and stressed out. And if you remember correctly, oxytocin is what's responsible for bonding with the narcissist or anyone we love. Well, oxytocin can actually reduce our stress and it can reduce our anxiety or increase them depending. The receptors for oxytocin seem to depend on a couple of different factors. The release of oxytocin can actually reduce our stress. It can calm us down a little bit, right? But interestingly enough, at the same time, an increased level of oxytocin is indicative of social distress in your life. And because we are empathic, we tend to bond very deeply with people in our lives. It causes our brains to kind of hold on to that relationship very tightly. We don't want to let go of it, just by nature. And at the same time, some of those chemicals are actually causing us to feel a deep sense of loneliness and loss. It's like a huge battle inside your head. And all the while, your brain is pushing you to go back after that person and work it out and just get through it. While, you know, the oxytocin stands back there and cheers you on and says, yes, go back, go back. So it's very uncomfortable to leave a relationship because of different stress systems in our bodies. So you've got your hypothalamic pituitary stress system, adrenal axis stress system, known as the HPA, and you've got your social stress system, which is of course driven by oxytocin. Along with the pain you're in, the withdrawal you feel, the craving and the dependence on that person, the codependency factor, how are you supposed to function like a normal person?
Do you think that you might have narcissistic abuse syndrome? If you do, here's some ideas to help you start on the healing path. Take a look.
This is a process, my friend. Of course, one way you can do that is to work to have the release of oxytocin in your brain, which calms you down. If we can do this, we can actually reduce our own stress. We can reduce cravings. We can reduce the desire to reunite with this person. But how do you do it? Well, you get connected to other people. Okay, it's a social factor. It can't be the partner. It can't be your ex. It has to be someone else. And we're not talking about a dating situation here. We're talking about a platonic connection. If you keep the partner away from you, you won't have as much craving.
With maybe a few exceptions, most people who have been in a relationship with a narcissist find it really difficult to just totally let go of that person. Whether you left the narcissist or they left you, this seems to be a consistent issue for people who have been in these relationships. I personally understand it because even in my own situation, I found recovery very difficult and I slipped back in once or twice in the process. Even though I was no longer really connected to that person emotionally, I still felt that I was somehow, and I kept finding myself talking to him and going back and trying to deal with him repeatedly, and it turned out to be very unhealthy for me. The divorce lasted almost a year, and it felt very emotionally taxing to me. So much so that when I finally found out the divorce was legally done, I stood up in my desk at the job I was working at the time and screamed out, "I'm divorced!" And everybody stood up and applauded. That was a fun moment, but all of the moments leading up to that point were very difficult and painful. So how did I get there, and how can you get there? How can you get past your narcissist? How can you wake up one day and go, "I didn't think about that person all day yesterday"? One thing to consider when we're talking about recovering from a relationship with a narcissist is how the relationship ended. So whether you initiated the breakup or they did, and all of the things that come with that. If you initiated the breakup, you might be struggling with guilt and wondering, did you make the right choice? You doubt yourself because the narcissist has taught you to do that over the years. If you were broken up with, then you're left spinning and you don't even know what to think. You might not even have realized they were a narcissist until after the fact. Of course, why the relationship ended, whether you left or they left, also matters when we're talking about how to get through it. It's one thing if you kind of went one way and your partner went the other, or if you suddenly realized, "Oh my gosh, this person is abusing me, I gotta go." But it's a whole other ball of wax if we're talking about you found out you got cheated on or something terrible happened that gave you the catalyst that you needed to kind of step out of that relationship. Well, then the other thing is if your partner turns out to have been some sort of an addict, like a drug or alcohol addict or something else, this can also cause the marriage to end or a relationship to end, and that leads to other issues. Now, if we're talking about a family member or a friend who you've had to go no contact with, other issues might be involved. Whether you went no contact or they did, either way, you're still probably struggling with similar feelings. One reason that recovering from a narcissist is so difficult is because the narcissist by nature does the push and pull thing. Do you know what I'm talking about? That's when the narcissist will desperately want you one second and then the next second push you away. And it seems like the moment that they have you, you know, if they say, "Oh my God, I can't live without you, I don't know what I'm going to do," and you give in and you go, okay, let's stay together. Within minutes, sometimes they're back on the same old abusive track. So they want you, they get you, they push you away. It's an ongoing cycle. We've talked about this before, how being with a narcissist, you go through the love bombing phase, then you go through the devalue phase and the discard phase, and then it circles right back around to love bombing or hoovering, depending on whether or not they actually discarded you or they just mentally and emotionally discarded you and stayed in the relationship. Because of their typical cycle, they tend to want to kind of re-insinuate themselves back into your life. They want to send you a crazy text message, or they want to drive by your house, or they want to call you for something that is completely unrelated to anything. Did you get the dog shots this month or whatever? And they kind of keep themselves in your life. Part of that reason for that is they want to have you as backup supply just in case whatever they're on right now doesn't work out. Part of it is to have control and lots of other things. One of the questions that was asked to me today in the group session was, do narcissists get jealous? Well, do they? Sure they do. And we talked about that in a whole video. But do they get jealous when they've moved on and then they find out you're dating someone else? Yeah, a lot of times they do. Why do they do that? Because they see you as a possession. It's not because they're like, "Oh, I messed up. I lost the best thing that ever happened to me." It's because they're like, "Oh, that kid took my toy. It's the same concept as a kid stealing a toy. As in, the narcissist sees you as an extension of him or herself and nothing more. They see you as an object to entertain them and to make them happy, something that they possess. Not a person, not an individual. And just like a child behaves when someone takes something they want, a narcissist behaves much like that when someone takes their former supply. All of this leads to continued repeated traumatization in your post-relationship situation. So even if you've left the narcissist, even if they've left you, they somehow manage to keep themselves planted in your head very firmly. And the reason that they do that is, again, because they want to keep you on the line in case they need some backup supply, and also because that's just who they are. They refuse to leave without a fight, or they refuse to let you have peace after they leave you. Either way, you are up for traumatization, traumatization, traumatization. It leaves you no room for healing. In addition to the chemical issues that we've talked about in previous videos, as far as being physically addicted to a narcissist, the other side of this coin is that narcissists by nature are the opposite of everything we understand about people. Humanity by nature has a certain amount of empathy. Even if a person doesn't consider him or herself an empath, they may still have a certain amount of empathy, unless they're a narcissist. Everything we knew to be true about being loyal to our mates, everything we knew to be true about understanding how someone feels and caring how someone feels, partnership, love, all of these things, the narcissist kind of craps on all that for us, don't they? Every idea that we ever have been taught or learned or felt about human connection, the narcissist smacks it right down. Regardless of the type of person you're in a relationship with, any sort of split of a long-term relationship is incredibly painful. Breaking up, divorcing, even going no contact with someone. But when there's a narcissist involved, there's a whole other mess involved, a whole other layer of pain for the people involved. When you're in a relationship with a narcissist, you never get closure. This is another reason that it's so hard to get over it. There is a correlation that comes between the sense of self that you are able to pull together when a relationship ends and your ability to heal. Going through a divorce from a relatively healthy relationship where you just kind of grew apart or things didn't work out for whatever reason is a lot different than going through any sort of breakup or split up or divorce from a narcissist, because with a normal situation, you're going to be recovering from feelings of lost love. You're going to be recovering from, you know, maybe a traumatic situation where you found out someone was cheating on you or something bad happened and you had to end the relationship, or just like I said, that you might have grown apart. When we're talking about the narcissist, we're talking about having gone through essentially psychological warfare without even you realizing it in some cases. You're not just recovering from failed marriage or failed relationships, you're recovering from war. That is why so often narcissistic abuse survivors come out with PTSD or CPTSD. A lot of people call themselves shell-shocked after they've been in one of these relationships. One reason it's so painful is that nothing was what it really looked like or what you thought it was. So when you start reviewing and rehashing what you went through, you suddenly start to see all the lies. And you suddenly start to realize that it wasn't really your soulmate, even though you thought for 10 months or 20 years or whatever it was that this is the person who was your be-all, end-all. Turns out you've been living a lie all of this time, and that's devastating to anyone. You think, oh my God, did I just waste my whole life? Is my life over now? Am I ever going to be happy again? Once you realize what you've gone through, you start to rethink everything. I know when I went no contact with my original narcissist, I found myself rethinking literally everything in my whole entire life. My beliefs, my ideas, my thoughts, my feelings. I didn't even know which ones of them were actually my own, and I had to kind of reevaluate my whole self. Of course, that's devastating. And that kind of brings me to my next point. Hindsight is always 20/20, right? So when we look back at the relationship, we watch a video and we hear, okay, these are the signs of narcissism. We look back and we go, oh my God, all those signs were there. How could I have missed it? How could I have missed it? I think I'm relatively intelligent. How could I have missed it? Well, you missed it because you shouldn't have had to look for it. It's really disorienting for anyone to have to sort of suddenly start peeling back the layers of the onion, as it were. All the lies that you realize have been shoved down your throat for all these years. You're questioning your judgment, like I said, about literally everything. And if you were dealing with someone who was gaslighting you, trying to make you think you were crazy or paranoid or overzealous or overjealous, suddenly realizing that you're not crazy is gratifying and feels really good. But also at the same time, you start to think back to all those times you were just like, okay, yeah, I'm crazy. And then you realize, oh my gosh, they really did this. They really did that. This really happened. I can't believe that happened. Did I really go through all this? And so you're devastated by it. And sometimes you're looking for closure and you know you can't get it from a narcissist. And so you're kind of wrestling with it in your own head. And then when you really start to think about it and you realize that over the years and over the months or however long you were together, you started to actually sort of help the narcissist abuse you, it's even worse. What do I mean by that? Well, Think about all the times that you conformed to the narcissist's wishes and then you started to pre-conform. I guess I just made that word up. Conform as in, you know, for example, if you know that if you wear a red shirt, the narcissist is angry, you stop wearing red shirts. Well, that's simple enough, right? But when you accidentally sort of collude with the narcissist and sort of help them to abuse you by sort of extending your hand to them and saying, hey, and I mean this metaphorically, hey, take me where you want me to go. Turn me into what you want me to be. And you're not doing that because you don't have a self. You're doing that because you've realized the narcissist doesn't really like yourself and you want the narcissist to love you because they're your relationship. They're the person that you're spending your life with or your time with. So as you recover, you start to live those moments over and over again and you start to feel really stupid. You're like, how could I let this happen? You feel like a fool. You don't even know what came over you. And as you look back, like I said, hindsight being 20/20, you see all the mistakes you made. You were insecurely attached to that person, and so maybe you acted differently than you normally would have acted because they made sure that they always kept you just this far away so that even if they wanted you right next to them 24/7, you always had a doubt that they were going to keep you around or that you were good enough for them. So instead of seeing what you were doing as a series of mistakes or as a mistake that anyone could have made, you might see yourself as someone who really messed up bad or someone who's stupid or naive. How could you have possibly been taken in by this person? Only stupid people would be taken in by someone like this, but that's not the case. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing necessarily missing in you, at least not anything that you can't fix. It's one thing to take responsibility for your part in the relationship, but it's a whole other thing to take the full responsibility and leave the narcissist out of it. You can only give someone so many chances, and chances are that you gave that person way more chances than they deserved anyway. Don't criticize yourself. Don't blame yourself. That's not going to help you now. It's very common for us as survivors to blame ourselves for everything that happened in the relationship. But if we tell ourselves that we're the problem, then we believe that all we have to do is change in order to let go of the pain. It's very handy to self-deceive this way, but it doesn't work all the time. The fact is, your partner, your narcissist, the ex, the family member, whoever, they never had any intention of changing. And even if you changed directly at their request or their insistence, you were changing into something that you weren't really in the first place. You were not accepting yourself for who you were, and you were accepting their definition of you as you. It is going to erode your self-esteem, for sure. So not only have you been forced to shove your feelings down all these years or months, you've been forced to lose your sense of self, but now your self-esteem has also been pounded into the ground by this person. And because a narcissist needs to be in control all the time, and because eventually you recognize that it's just a little easier to let them do that during the relationship, you have no sense of control over yourself and your life.
One of the worst things about narcissistic abuse is that you never get the validation that you desperately need to get through it. It's one of the worst things about going through not just the abuse, but the recovery part. Because one of the ways that we heal as humans is through validation. This is validation that we so desperately want and need and never get in these situations. When a healthy person hurts someone in a relationship, they know that they've done something wrong. And even if they don't exactly agree with the person's perspective, they often give the person the simple gift of validating their perspective. And that's something that narcissists will never do. So how are you supposed to get over narcissistic abuse when you don't even really fully understand what happened and you'll never get validation from that abuse? Like I said, narcissists, they don't take responsibility for their behavior ever. So you're not going to get an I'm sorry from a narcissist that's sincere. You're not going to get any validation for the pain that they caused you or anything else that they've put you through. The fact is, by nature, narcissistic personality disorder makes it almost impossible for a narcissist to actually accept any responsibility or to validate any of your pain and stress in the situation. They don't want to admit they've had anything to do with the problem, and they certainly don't want to validate anything that you say that may kind of negate their personal story about the whole deal, right? So as someone who's gone through narcissistic abuse, chances are that anytime you've attempted to gain validation from your abuser, whether you did that through discussion or just simply saying, this is how I felt, can you please, you know, be sorry or something, or, you know, even to get general validation, you're probably met with things like rejection, dismissal, judgment, and quite honestly, very serious narcissistic rage. Anytime you ask for the validation that you so desperately need in order to heal, like like we just recently talked about. Narcissists very often have a way of telling us to stop living in the past anytime we ask for any sort of validation at all for something they've done to hurt our feelings. And if we've been discarded, we might as well forget it. So how are we supposed to get through this? The fact of the matter is, it's almost impossible for literally anyone, abused or otherwise, to get through any emotional upset when their feelings are being consistently discounted and ignored. When you've gone through narcissistic abuse, it's even worse because this has been going on for you since you started that relationship. And if your narcissist or one of your narcissists is a parent or someone who's been in your life for more than a few months, chances are you don't even know what it feels like to be validated anyway. So how are you supposed to recover without any validation? How do you go from just being a survivor to being a real life thriver? How do you find yourself again? How do you find happiness again? Well, here's the thing. You're going to need a lot of inner strength, and that feels hard sometimes because when we've gone through this, the inner strength that we need is often completely drained from us by the narcissist. But I will tell you this, when you do get through it, you're going to find yourself being so strong that, like I tell you all the time, you'll be the strongest person you know in real life. You have to figure out a way to build or rebuild what you lost or what you never had. You have to find your self-confidence, find your self-esteem, find your ability to move forward, to self-love, to self-soothe, to bring yourself to the point where you know that you deserve better and you accept nothing less. Don't get me wrong, it's not fair. You shouldn't have to do that. Nobody should have to do that. It's not fair. It's abuse. Survivors, you got to do all the work. You have to go to counseling or coaching. You have to do the inner work, figure out where the core wound is, all the things, right? It's not fair. Why are you doing this when the narcissist is over there acting like everything's perfect in their life? And probably, if we're being honest, love bombing someone else trying to get that much needed supply. We have to deal with unfair judgment from flying monkeys and other people, smear campaigns, things like this. And we also have to deal with taking action that feels contrary to our nature. The healing process isn't easy.
Just a few quick tips for healing yourself after abuse by a narcissist. First of all, write down everything you went through and stick it in a drawer somewhere so that when you feel tempted to go back to the narcissist, you won't fall for it. Secondly, write and think logically. Even though your emotions want to jump into this whole deal and let it go, when you're working on understanding what you went through, because now you've already discovered it, now you're trying to understand it, right? When you're working on understanding what you're going through and what you've been through, think on a logical level. If you can manage to focus on the logic of it and the science of it, it can help you to start to sort of deal with and understand the emotions of it. On the flip side of that, though, don't shove your emotions down. If you need some time to sit down and cry and let stuff out, just do it. You've spent way too long shoving those emotions down in the first place. Now it's time for you to learn to feel your emotions again and let them pass and deal with them as you can. Next thing you want to do is treat yourself with love and compassion. Unconditional self-acceptance, unconditional self-love. Love yourself in the same way that a good mother would have loved you. Think about what you would say to someone in your same situation who you love. What would you say to your child or your friend or your niece or your nephew? What would you say to someone you love and care about in the same situation as you? How would you tell them to proceed? Tell yourself the same thing. Don't judge yourself. Be understanding to yourself. Don't beat yourself up for being dumb enough to get involved with a narcissist. Instead, stay focused on the fact that you were strong enough to get out and heal. Understand that you accidentally got involved. You really thought this person was someone else, and it's not your fault. They showed you a different person when you got involved. You didn't sign up for a narcissist, you got stuck with one. Understand that you're not the only one going through this, you're not alone. That's why this channel exists, that's why the Span group exists, and you can check that out at queenbeing.com/span, S-P-A-N. And understand that there's a whole community of people who have been affected by these people. And interestingly enough, most of them are very intelligent, very attractive, and very capable. And that's what I think people miss. People think that people who get involved with abusers and control freaks are just dumb idiots or people who are desperate or whatever, but narcissists don't accept people like that. Narcissists only want attractive, intelligent people that they can show off to the world when it suits them. So keep that in mind. This means if you were abused by a narcissist, chances are they found you intelligent and attractive, which means you have something to offer the world beyond what you might see in the mirror today. So give yourself a little credit, my friend. Finally, stick with the no contact thing. Don't allow the narcissist to continue to infect you. If you are dealing with a child situation where you have to deal with child custody, go ahead and deal with them, but only on behalf of the child. Check out my video on parental apps that are court admissible, because there are co-parenting apps that you can use with a narcissist that are actually allowed in court for evidence for various situations. Failing that, do as much as you can by text message or email. Try to never speak to the narcissist on the phone. And if you must, only speak about the children and then end the call. Understand, the pain is not going to end today. But if you stay focused on intentionally managing your vibration and focused on what you want and not what you don't want, on what you can control and not what you can't, life will get a whole lot better really quickly. If you choose to intentionally grow and move forward in a new way, it doesn't have to ruin you. The big secret here that I think a lot of survivors don't recognize is that deep down inside, we really are the person we want to be, even if it doesn't show on the outside just yet. See, the truth is that the best way to find yourself again after you go through narcissistic abuse in a toxic relationship is to remember or decide, figure out what it is that makes you happy. What are the activities and the things that you've always wanted to do? Jump into a project. Even if it's a project you do on your kitchen table, jump into something. Find something that makes you feel passionate and exciting. Indulge in the things you love the most. The things that, like I said, maybe you weren't allowed to indulge in when you were with a narcissist. The things that make your soul feel alive. As you're doing that, you're going to find yourself, your true self, starting to come to the surface. It's kind of a beautiful thing. Now, here's something else that you should know. And I don't know if you've thought about this or if you're aware of it, but you being not good enough, as I'm sure the narcissist told you or implied to you that you were, is a big fat lie. It's something that the narcissist wanted you to believe so that they could retain control over you. It's part of a narcissist's nature to tear down the people who are closest to them. They need to feel in control, and they need to obtain a certain amount of admiration, supply, etc., in order to feel normal. When you feel weak, you have to remember why you left or why you want to leave and stay away. You know, the gnawing feeling you get in your stomach when they call you names, or the horrible way they don't seem to actually see you as a real person. Instead, they see you as an object or an extension of themselves. Or maybe how your entire character, your whole being, your whole self was called into question every single time you accidentally broke one of the little rules or one of the little issues, the things that they have, the unwritten rules of the narcissist, as it were. Maybe it was the unspoken rules or the ridiculousness that made you want to leave or stay away. Or maybe you want to stay away because you've been discarded one time too many. You're just done. Or maybe you want to stay away because you're tired of double standards and double lives and bull crap. Whatever your reason is, write all that down. And don't forget to include the emotional feelings so that when you do feel weak, you can look back at that list and figure that out. I want you to remember that now you're the one who gets to decide what happens. You're the one who chooses your fate from here on out. You can choose to be miserable forever if you want to, but that sucks. I suggest that no matter what, you don't scare yourself into staying or going back to a narcissist. They're going to try to make you feel afraid and insecure. It's all part of their plan to keep you under control. The narcissist wants you to think that you can't live without them, and they want you to think that if you leave, your life is going to fall apart. They want you to think that you can't do better. And I want you to know that none of that is true. Don't let the narcissist's false threats scare you. Don't let them fool you into thinking you can't live without them. The fact of the matter is, it might feel a little scary to be in control of your life now and to be in full control and to be the one responsible for all the decisions. But I promise you, it's a beautiful thing if you just embrace it. I remember when I went no contact with my narcissist, I felt so much lighter and freer than I had ever felt in my life. If you can do that same thing, you will find that same joy, I promise. I want you to know that you can do better. I don't care if you're not perfect. I don't care if you're overweight or frumpy or too skinny or too whatever. You can do better. Nobody deserves the abuse of a narcissist. It's pure torture. And my friend, please remember, you can do better. Know that. And remind yourself when you feel weak. If you remove the narcissist from your world, you open up space for potentially healthy new relationships. And don't feel like you're forced to be in a relationship. There's nobody's telling you that you have to jump into a relationship. Quite honestly, I recommend waiting anywhere from a month to a year or more, depending on how long it takes you to heal, how long you were in the relationship with a narcissist, and how significantly the relationship tortured you as a person. The damage that you've experienced is profound and significant, but it doesn't mean it's not repairable. Like they say, you're more beautiful in the broken places, right? You can do this. You can be the person you want to be. You can get through this recovery. I promise you. You have to know it. You have to know it. While anybody's initial reaction to change is going to be difficult sometimes, it's going to be hard, it's not always going to be easy to do any kind of major change in your life. And of course, this is especially true when it involves separation from someone you've spent any amount of time with. Because a lot of times, you literally sort of forget who you are. You become so enmeshed and codependent with a narcissist that you're not even sure who you would be without them. Remember this though, your situation doesn't make you any less than. It doesn't make you any less human.
it makes you still a bundle of possibility, still someone who can completely overturn this whole thing and change his or her life and become something that you want to be. People who haven't experienced the hell of narcissistic abuse really truly have no idea how significantly terrible it can be, how horribly it can take over your world. Before you know it, when you're with these people, you find yourself literally putting every single thing you think, say, do, feel, or become through a narc filter. You always find yourself wondering, what is the narcissist going to think about this? Should I take that job? What if the narcissist doesn't want me to? This is true whether we're talking about a husband, a wife, a mother, a father, a brother, a sister. Narcissists are incredibly controlling of everyone in their life, anyone who they consider close people, close to them, supply, family, all these things. You have to remove the narc filter from yourself. You have to take it off, not just your brain, but your whole identity. Because now you're seeing yourself in a way, if you haven't started to heal yet, you're starting to see, you see yourself in the same way that a narcissist would see you. And that voice, it's always in the back of your head, kind of niggling at you, kind of pushing at you. It's time for you to start shedding that version of yourself and start to create the version of yourself that you want to be. The person who you truly want and desire to be. The person that you consider to be the best possible version of yourself. My challenge to you today is to start deciding who you are now, who you want to become, and what it's all about. And to do that without the shadow of a narcissist's vision, without the echo of a narcissist's voice in your head, to do that with a clear, free, and open mind to possibility. Anything is possible if you want it to be true. I promise you that. I'm living proof of it. You can have, do, be, say, think what you want when you are free of a narcissist, if you choose to do so.
All right, now this brings me to the question of the day. And the question of the day is, do you think you might have what we're calling narcissistic abuse syndrome? And if so, how do you plan to deal with it, or how did you deal with it when you first realized it? Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences in the comment section below, and let's talk about it. I just want to offer a quick shout out to my amazing channel members. Thank you so much for being part of my mission to help our survivor community discover, understand, and overcome narcissistic abuse and toxic relationships. It means so much to me, and I know it means so much to everyone else too, so thank you so much. My amazing channel members include Angela, Susan, Roxanne, Debbie, Lorenzo, Life's Revival, Trisha, James, Marlene, Jen, Sarah Lee, Delilah, Boku, Paul, Janet, Pirlala, Laura, Charlie, Linda, Bible News Radio, Angel, Carrie, Beautiful Purpose, Alice, Cherie, Phoenix, Linnell, Marsha, Alda, Smith & Wesson, Miss Lisa, Martha, Freedom Lee, Mindy, Christy, and Lynn. Thank you so much. Again, I just want to say thank you so much for hitting that join button. Your support really does mean a lot to me. Thank you again. All right, that's all I've got for you right now. But as always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Now, before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm leaving for you right there and right there. And while you're here, hit that subscribe button right over there so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.